Thank you very much. It's such a joy for me to be here and a privilege, and I'm excited to travel and share about what God is doing in Russia and encourage people to become part of what He is doing through prayer, support, and through going and joining us in that ministry. I live in Penza, Russia, which is about 450 miles southeast of Moscow. Some people ask if it's near Black Sea, and I say no. Black Sea is another 1,000 miles south. So Russia is a big place, you can imagine. It's bigger than California even. And when I was growing up, we didn't have sunflower seeds, which I really loved. But my grandparents lived in the southern part of Russia, actually not far from Black Sea, and it was like we would live in Wisconsin and they lived in California. So I really enjoyed when they would send us some sunflower seeds and we would bake them and we would eat them. And I was so motivated to get more of those sunflower seeds that I decided to write them a letter one day. In fact, this is how I learned to write. I wanted to write them, "Dear Granddaddy and Grandmommy, please send me some more sunflower seeds." So they would send, and I enjoyed it. But then I realized, why would I ask them? Maybe I can grow my own. So from the package that they sent, I took one sunflower seed, got a pot with dirt, put it in there, covered it with a good layer of water, and I thought, this is great. That was the first sleepless night in my life. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't wait when morning will come so I would see my sunflower seed. But to my amazement, nothing happened. Well, remember, I was six. I was just saw the same pot with dirt and nothing was there. It didn't grow. Well, I thought maybe I didn't have enough water, so I put more water in it. But it didn't work. So actually, I had to wait maybe about 10 days before something began to spring out of there. Well, today, my message is kind of backdrops to this illustration, talking about Kingdom of God and how Kingdom of God works in our lives in spiritual realm, because we see this need in spiritual sowing and spiritual growth, not only in our lives, but around the whole world. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and we will read just four verses. Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. We'll see parable, we'll see meaning of this parable and practical application for our lives this morning. Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. This is the parable of the seed that Jesus is telling to his disciples. Verse 26, "And he said, 'So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast sand into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in a sickle, because the harvest is come.'" So that is the parable that Jesus told to his disciples. And we should keep in mind that parables were something that we're supposed not to confuse disciples, like we sometimes confused with these parables, but actually explain heavenly realm with the earthly reality. So for disciples, it was pretty clear what Jesus meant when he was saying. I'm using King James version of the Bible. Some of you have other versions like NIV. And in verse 26, it talks about here about a man who is casting a seed into the ground. And in King James, there is a condition, if, and we should pay attention to it. In your translation, it may be not there, and that is also correct. Because in the original Greek text of this verse, there is no if word. But the construction of the sentence is the such that there is a subjunctive construction here, that there is a condition. So there is a condition of men casting seed. And we can imagine, and if we expect land to grow something, we should plant something. I planted my little seed when I was 6 in that pot with the dirt, expecting that it would grow. And I expected that it would be sunflower because I planted sunflower seed. On the way here, I saw a lot of fields with strawberries. It was so interesting to see how they work already on them. So seed should be planted. And man is the one who plants the seed. In the context of this parable, man is Jesus and his disciples, those who have the gospel, the message of God, message of Jesus Christ, the good news. And it also about us now, because we part of God's family. We are his disciples. So if we do it, then the process begins. The process that Jesus is explaining here as the working out of God's kingdom of God in our reality. Now, it's interesting, in verse 27, we see the process. But a man who planted the seed does not know how it grows. By now, we know a lot about agriculture. We know how to encourage the growth of the plants or how to discourage growth of certain plants. I'm sure you do it with your grass. But we don't know actually how it all grows, and we cannot control it that much, and it's all from God. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we try, but we can't. But it's happening. It's happening. I remember when I was driving here on through the area in Utah, and I was kind of late and it was dark, and all what I can see were just two lines, two white lines between which I was supposed to stay on the freeway, and it was dark around. I couldn't see a thing. And from time to time, I would see a sign, scenery view. And I go, really? And I couldn't see a thing. I could see just two little things. But I should imagine that there is a scenery over there. I just couldn't see it. It was there, but I couldn't see it. Similar things is happening here. Jesus is saying that we don't know how it's working out, but it is. Now, verse 28 is also very interesting, because it tells us more about this process that is going, and the earth produces the fruit of herself, or in your translation may be written, by itself. Christ is trying to stress this notion here, putting these words actually in the beginning of the sentence, if you look in the original Greek, by itself. And you know very well this word. It's a Greek word, automatos, or automatic, we would say in English. When you drive your car, you can have a stick shift, but mostly you'll prefer automatic because it's easier. You don't have to drive or think that much how to drive. You just put it automatic and it shifts the gears for you up and down. When I was flying from New York to Dallas, we had a smaller plane, and I saw a pilot, but I didn't see co-pilot. And I guess I was not alone. So well in the air, we saw a pilot leaving his cabin and walking back through the plane. So some people look concerned, you know, what's going on? Why pilot is not flying the plane? But he said, don't worry, we're on the autopilot, so we're all good. Don't worry. And he came back. So by itself, it can be done. And Jesus here is saying that by itself, it's happening. And again, we don't know how, we don't see that, but it's happening. And then we see in verse 29 here that when the fruit is brought forth immediately, the man puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. And in context of the parable, he talks more about eschatological meaning, coming of the kingdom of God when it will be end of times. But pay attention that here in verse 29, he is not saying if the fruit is brought forth. He's saying when. So it's not condition here. It's just a matter of time. It will happen. We don't know when, but it says when. It will happen. So we see this parable. We see that Jesus tells his disciples that growth of the seed, gospel message of the seed, happens by itself or automatically. God is doing all this work. But we also have part in this. We cast out of the seed. And I don't know, maybe if you do, let me know. I will be happy to learn that too. Why God chose us to do his work. He is all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is he knows everything, but he decided to choose you and me to be these people in the world. So he saved us so that we could be his co-workers in this world to fulfill this work, to cast out the seed of the gospel and to go to the people and tell them this good news. And this will be our practical application for our lives, because this is what Jesus wants us to do, not just to know that information, but actually to do something with it. And I think it's very important, because in Russia we see often that people in the churches know a lot from the Bible. They come week after week, and they learn from the Bible passage by passage, and they increase their knowledge, and sometimes they begin even to study regional languages. But the question is, what do we do with all this? How do we apply it to our lives? Because God created us, he formed us, but we all have sin that deforms us, and people can tell, and you can tell, but Christ transforms us. So that life transformation is what people see in life, in us, and when it's happening, that a testimony of God. And also, we can tell other people. And in terms of telling, I would like just to stress two things. First of all, some of us can think that I don't know how. I don't know what to tell. In a lot of cases, someone said that 90% of evangelism is just showing up. So when you're there for the people and they know that you're a Christian, it already speaks volumes. But it's important also for them to hear. And we have everything what we need to tell them. First of all, we have presence of Christ himself with us. When he gave us the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, you know very well this verses 18, 19, and 20, he said, first of all, that all power is given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. So it belongs all to him. He is all powerful. But then in verse 20, he said, I am with you always. So when we go out and tell people about Jesus, when we live out our lives for Jesus, he is with us. We're not alone. And this is very important. Another important thing is that in addition to this great commandment, Jesus also told us that we have His Holy Spirit. So it's not just Jesus with us, but His Holy Spirit is in us. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, he tells to his disciples in the future tense that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, that happened 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost. This is when the church was born, and that's why we're all here, because church was born 2,000 years ago, and we all, when we trust Christ, we receive this Holy Spirit. So for us, it's not future tense anymore. For us, it's present tense, because it happened in the past. So we have Jesus, we have His power, and we have commandment of Jesus, a great commission, we know that. But also here in the same verse in Acts 1:8, where He tells to His disciples in terms of territorial sphere where there will be witnessing about Him, He tells him both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it's also important to notice that it says both. That means all together. So it's not first here and then there and then in the end of the earth. It can be done at the same time. It can be done in your own area here in Torrance. It can be done in your state of California. It can be done at the same time across the United States and around the whole world. And I'm excited to see that your church is doing that, that many of your people went to different countries of the world to live and tell people about Jesus Christ. It is great that some of your people also came to Russia and we worked together sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And from this parable, we see that if we don't do it, if we don't sow the seed, then how can we expect anything to grow? We need to do it, and then by itself, we don't know how it's happening. And of course, we're trying to do our best to figure out how to do it, but the best we can do to recognize what God is doing and follow His lead and follow His direction. E3 has been working in Russia for over 20 years now. And we saw many people coming to Christ. We saw many churches planted as we would go out, share the gospel with them. But at the same time, when we analyzed the big picture, we realized that for the last 20 years, not much really changed. 20 years ago, we had less than 1% of evangelicals in Russia, with all the effort that was invested in Russia, and not just with E3 partners. There are hundreds and hundreds of organizations, churches, and mission agencies who sent missionaries, who pray for Russia, who sent people over there. But again, over the whole board, nothing changed that much. So analyzing this picture, we realize that what we do, brothers and sisters, is ministry of addition. We try to add people, and it's successful. It works. We're grateful to the Lord that He is doing that. But seeing how He works in other parts of the world, like India or China, how church planting movements are happening in those countries, we realize that it is better to have ministry of multiplication. As we see it in the book of Acts, when first disciples were added, then disciples multiplied, and then churches were added, and then churches were multiplied. So we are in the process of going through from addition of churches to multiplication of churches. And if you see in the book of Acts, by Acts chapter 19, all people in Asia Minor heard the gospel. So the whole area was reached. Everyone knew about Jesus. And it's amazing. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have Facebook even. They didn't have anything. But it happened. It happened through multiplication, just the word of mouth, by living and telling of the Christians. So it can be done. in our lifetime as well. We believe so. So in Russia, we invite all people to participate, and we're very grateful that some people from your church come to Russia with E3 and work with us in different regions. And when the team of North Americans come, it models to national believers how it works. Again, we have a mandate, we have commandment, we have Jesus, we have Holy Spirit, we have our Bibles, we have everything that we need to do that. And of course, E3 gives you some more training when you come, how to do it better, a little cultural background. And we go together. Each American has a national believer, an interpreter, because most of you do not speak Russian yet. And therefore, we go out together, and North American shares the gospel, opens the Bible, and from the Bible, we have a Bible study with a local person who is interested in it. It may be one person, it may be a small group of people, and we ask them a series of simple questions that help them first to see what the Bible says, then to apply it to their lives, and then to tell others. So we try to put in the DNA of this Bible study not just knowledge, which is important, but also living it out, application, personal application, and also multiplication, which is telling others. And we ask the simple questions, and what is neat about them, that there is no wrong answer to this question, and everyone can answer, believer or non-believer. Read the passage from the Bible, maybe even like this passage, the parable of the seed, and we ask them, what do you like about this passage? And everyone has an opinion, and there's nothing wrong to tell out this opinion. So we discuss this, what they like about it. The next question we ask, what you don't like or found confusing about this passage. And Russian people like to criticize everything, so they can tell you right away what they don't like or they found confusing. Then we ask them, what do we learn from this passage about people? And we discuss that a little bit. The fourth question, what do we learn from this passage about God? And we discuss that a little bit. And through these discussions, it's very amazing to see how God, Holy Spirit, works. Sometimes people, new people who don't go to the church, they may be not even believers, but Holy Spirit somehow, I don't know how, touches their hearts. So they give the answers to the group that I would read somewhere in a thick commentary being in Dallas Theological Seminary, and I'm sitting there and thinking, wow, how do they do that? I had to go to school for that. But these guys already know. But Holy Spirit gives them this insight and to the whole group. So we ask them what you like, what you didn't like, what you learned about people, what you learned about God from this passage. The fifth question we ask, how do you apply to your life what you learned from this passage? This week, we want to be specific. It's not just in general, but this week. And you know why this week? Because we meet next week. We have a local church member right here who comes back to this person or this group of people next week, and they will do this the same. And they start with asking, okay, how did it go last week? How did you apply? So we want to be specific, so people would know how to leave this out. And then the sixth question we ask, which is very important as well, whom will you tell what you learned from this passage? Whom specifically? It can be your neighbor or your friend or your coworker, or maybe if you're so timid, it may be your cat. You know, tell anybody, just tell. So get into the habit of telling to somebody. And once you begin to tell people, and once this group is going, it's just amazing to see how it works when it does work. First of all, people in the group realize that there is nothing terribly difficult to lead a group like this. You don't have to go to the seminary, although it helps, but you don't have to become a pastor or ordained minister. You can be in a group and ask six questions and see how people answer and lead this group. So each person in this small group is a potential leader for the group like that. And here we see multiplication. Another thing, this group works best when everyone participates. It's not just one person is talking and 100 people looking at him. Everyone participates, everyone has an opinion, and everyone can answer. And after they begin to tell others, often other people want to join a group, but we don't want to see it happening, because if they join group, the group begins to be too large for everyone to participate. What we want, we tell this person, okay, your friend wants to join our group, great. Start your own group with him over there. You still can come to our group, but you go ahead and do your own. So that way, we have, instead of one group, we can have two, three, five going at the same time. And that's the ministry of multiplication. This is what we want to see happening in Russia. And this is what your church members have been helping us to see happening in Russia. As you pray, as you give, as you come. This year, we will have, by God's grace, seven mission expedition from the United States to Russia. And all of them have this one goal, to start new churches, because we believe that through a local church, the whole community can be reached as people live out and tell. So we need to do our part in God's kingdom, as Jesus describes here. If we do that, then time will come. We don't know when it will come, but it will come, because it's not a condition. It just depends on the time. As I mentioned, in Russia for the last 20 years, we saw a ministry of addition, but we started this ministry of multiplication maybe about a couple years ago now. And we are excited to see what God will do through that. We see it's working in other parts of the world, like India and China, some other parts. And we invite you to join us in prayer and in going and supporting this ministry, so we could see the whole country of Russia reached for Christ. Because right now, as I said, just less than 1% of evangelical Christians present. It's about 1.5 million people, and it's a big number, but the population of whole Russia is about 150 million people. And Russia has 89 regions. It's like a state, and each region has about 25, 30 districts. It's like counties. So we may have a region of 3 million people and about 2,000 Christians in that region. We may have 15, 20 churches. Half of them would be in the capital of that region. Half of them will be in 6, 7 districts. But 20, 25 other districts don't have any evangelical presence whatsoever. So the need is there. The harvest is there. So we see our task, having Christ on our side, having Holy Spirit in us, having His marching orders to go out and tell people about Jesus and open the Word of God with them, so we could together see His power of the transforming gospel in our lives and in the lives of our other people. When I was 6 years old, I planted that seed, and it took about 10 days before something began to show up there. But then it began to grow a little faster, and I kind of forgot about it. I just added from time to time more water. But in a couple months, it was big enough for me to realize that this pot of dirt is not enough. So I put that sunflower seed plant outside. It was summertime, no snow. And It took a couple more months. It grew like this. So I was so excited. I was six to take that sunflower seed. It was that big. No, maybe this big. And I took all the seeds out of it, and I baked them, and it all worked out. I was very excited. Brothers and sisters, God is on our side, and we're co-workers with Him. Let's do our part in His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to You for Your Son, Jesus, and for Your Holy Spirit that we have in us. We're grateful to You for Your Word and for giving us wisdom and direction how to go about Your work in the world. Thank You for leading us and directing us through Your Word and Spirit. And I thank You for brothers and sisters in this church who go to around the world, including Russia, to live and tell others about Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would be all encouraged in sharing good news of Jesus Christ around the whole world, as well as here in California and in Torrance, with our friends and relatives and neighbors and co-workers, so they could see You in our lives and they could hear about You through our conversations with them. Please lead us and bless us in this work and Your ministry. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.